Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here, Sunday morning. What's going on in Washington? Well, one of the smartest U.S. senators I know is Senator Rand Paul. He's a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, Homeland Security, Health, Education, and Labor, and Small Business. Good morning, Senator Paul. How are you this morning?
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me. I'm very well. I have survived. You know, I had the virus back in the spring, but I've survived and I am doing very well.
A friend of ours just passed away, Herman Cain.
Yeah, nice man. And it's a tough disease, and it's a disease that's hard to figure out in the sense that some people like me, a lot of people, maybe over 90% of a lot of age categories won't get sick at all. But in certain age categories, and I know Herman had had, you know, he had had metastatic cancer before. His immune system may not be quite as good as he'd have liked. But I'm sad to hear that.
As our friends would say, may his memory be eternal. Washington, we're talking about a new package to help out the economy. How do you see it?
Well, I guess the way I see it is we really don't have any money here, and it's important for people to know that it's not like we can walk over to the Federal Reserve and open a big safe door and we look in and there's a big pile of money we can send everybody. There is no rainy day fund in Washington. There is no savings account. In order for Washington to send you money, they have to either create the money at the Federal Reserve or borrow it. Sometimes we actually borrow it from China and other countries. Or we, in a symbolic way, we kind of borrow it from your kid's future because we take it and somebody's got to pay it back eventually. And if interest rates rise on this enormous debt, what we'll find is interest will consume most of the budget. Already, interest is one of the largest items in the budget. We pay over, I think, a little over $200 billion in interest, but it's projected, even before we started borrowing all this money for the COVID virus, it was projected to go to over $800 billion. There are people now saying we've borrowed so much money that we're speeding up the demise of Medicare and Social Security. And people are starting talking about this. You don't hear that on the news at all. All they do is they want more free money. But I know you've worked hard in your life. You didn't get any of it for free, right? Didn't you have to work hard and sell things to people that people wanted?
Well,
that's what business is about.
I agree. But we disagree in that point because I believe that the money will never get paid back. It's just if our economy gets better, we could pay the interest, and it goes on and on and on.
Yeah, it does in a way. But I guess the question is you can manage it as long as you manipulate the interest rate and keep it low. So the Federal Reserve works hard to keep interest. You know, we've got very, very low interest now, right now. But there is a point at which the Federal Reserve can't control the interest. And that has happened in our history. It happened back in the late 70s and early 80s when interest went through the roof. And so I do think that you can't hide inflation forever. The other thing is that we do pretty well with the U.S. dollar because they think, oh, well, other countries are even worse. You know, look at what Venezuela's done to their money or Zimbabwe. Nobody wants their monies. So they still clamor for the dollar. But I think there is a telling sign. Goldman Sachs, which is, a mainstream but a big organization, put out something yesterday remarking on $1,900 an ounce gold that it shows that there are people worried, despite what people are saying. People are worried about the economy, but also worried about the currency and what we're doing to it.
Senator, there's always somebody worried about the economy. somebody's always worried. But I'll give you my analysis. And 94% of the world's liquid currency, I think the dollar, the pound, the euro, I don't want to own any euros. I don't want to own any yen. I don't want to own any Chinese money. So the only thing I really want to own is dollars. So if that's the world attitude, what would you convert it to?
No, I think you're right. I think if it's sort of the story or the analogy they use is having the cleanest shirt in a closet full of dirty shirts. But the admission of that analogy is that all the currencies are dirty shirts and the dollar is the best of currencies that are manipulated and are losing their value. No, what people choose
I'll agree with you on that one.
But the thing is I don't think people necessarily, countries won't necessarily choose, but individuals choose. So what happens is, so for example, I'm glad I'm not a rich person, but in my pension, I've now invested in some real estate. So I own something that is of real value. I can remember my great-grandparents who came from Germany. They lost pretty much everything, but the ones who had land didn't lose everything because land still retain some of its value. So I guess the thing is you probably don't have all of your investments in currency. You probably own things that are of other value, either, you know, the stores or real estate or things like that. And so people own a variety of things in case the currency does go bad.
That's 100% correct. And I think that's up to people to decide what they put their investments in. But let's go back to our country. We're having so much turmoil in our system. And people are saying, well, is it Antifa? But who's paying Antifa? Is it the Chinese? Is it the Russians? Is it the Iranians? And I've told this to many people that there's no upside to have President Trump as president because the Chinese hate him, the Russians hate him, and the Iranians hate him. So who's paying these people that are creating turmoil in our city, Senator?
You know, I think it's a good question. I don't know the answer, but I think by all appearances, there appears to be more organization to this spreading chaos. There definitely are people out there. They call themselves Antifa. They're violent, and they're working hard to use this opportunity to cause mayhem. I'm not sure they all know what they actually believe or stand in, and I guess anarchy is not really a belief. It's sort of an absence of order. But I do worry about it. You know, both my wife and I see these pictures on the internet. They see the spreading racial tension. They see the spreading rioting. They see the, you know, Portland's been on fire for 55 days. I think the most important thing to come of this, because you have to figure out how do we combat this. You know, law enforcement can figure out who funds illegal organizations. Hopefully that will happen. But from a voter's point of view, we have to, it's important to remind people, you know, who's been running New York City for most of the last 50 years? Democrats. Who's been running Portland? Democrats. Who's been running Minneapolis? Democrats. So really, the blame needs to accrue where the blame should accrue. Republicans didn't create the mess in our cities. The Democrats,
Senator,
did.
You're 100% correct. But why, you know, why are these Democrats doing what they're doing? Why are they allowing, they're putting the handcuffs on the police force, not on the criminals?
I think the way they see it is that, you remember Rahm Emanuel, who worked for President Obama, every crisis, you know, they don't want to waste a crisis. A crisis is an opportunity for them to increase the power of government, make government bigger, make government make more decisions. So the COVID virus is a crisis, and I'm not discounting it. It is a real crisis, but people who are disingenuous will use it and manipulate it to get more government power. So right now, the governor of New York can tell you what restaurants can open, what stores can open, how long, how many employees, and how many people can be inside. And you say, well, it's during the pandemic. But what if he doesn't give it back up? What if the powers don't go away? What if the decisions on going to church and what's acceptable? We now have people online telling us what the truth is, and we can't make our own decisions on whether to use hydroxychloroquine. We have to accept that Twitter has presumed that it's false, or Facebook says you can't.
So it's all politics.
A lot of it's politics, yes. And bad people, or disingenuous is a nicer way to put it, but people who are using the situation for their own motives.
And people are dying in the streets of Harlem or in the streets of Bedford, Stuyvesant, all over our cities because the Democrats are not taking action against the criminals.
The good news I will tell you on the virus front, and this is a projection, so it obviously could be wrong, but I am strongly beginning to believe that New York has enough immunity that you're not going to get another surge in cases or another surge in deaths. I think you suffered more than the rest of the country in March and April and May. But I think you've actually built up enough immunity. It's not perfect immunity, but the community has enough that the virus is finding dead ends, so your numbers began to decline. I don't think it had anything to do with Cuomo or anything to do with government policy. I think it had to do mostly with so many people got infected that you now have enough immunity floating around through the community. Not everybody's got it, but enough people have had it that the virus is finding enough dead ends that it begins to slow down. This is what they call herd immunity, but everybody said, oh, you can't get it till you have 60 or 70% of the public. New York has about 25%. But I think you're actually finding, and we'll find, that we have a little bit of herd immunity at a much lower number than what they projected. And that's me being optimistic. I can't tell you with 100% certainty, but that's what the numbers right now are showing me, that New York's doing well because they have immunity.
Senator Rand Paul, thank you for your common sense. Thank you for the common sense you put out in Washington, and continue to do that, and God bless America.
Thanks, John.
This is the Cats Roundtable. We'll be right back.